The Morning Show
with Declan Meehan. East Coast
FM. Morning Show at East Coast FM. Declan Meehan with you, and joining us in the studio from Bray Vet on Old Connor and PeteTheVet.com on the web, it is Pete Weatherburn. Morning, Pete.
Good morning, Declan.
Good morning. Nice to see you again. How are things?
Great. Keeping as busy as ever.
Good. Lots of things in the practice. Maybe we'll turn to something in the practice in a few moments. But a story that we had last week, and it was prompted by a story in Dublin about dogs on the beach and doing their business, and people not very happy about it. And in Dublin, there was lots of pollution at various areas that people like to swim in. And we were talking to Dave O'Reilly from Greystones Tidy Towns, and he said, yeah, it can be a worry in Greystones as well. What's your view as a vet? I mean, we like to take our dogs out. What about dogs roaming on the beach and doing their business?
But this story was actually news to me. I've always been very aware of the need to pick up on the streets and on the verges and in parks, because humans walking by can stand on it and it can carry infection to humans, and it's just disgusting generally. But in my mind, I suppose, like many people, I kind of thought, if you're walking a dog on the beach and it's below the, you know, standing at the level where the water's going to wash it away, it's really not a big deal. That's what I thought, but I was wrong. And this report shows that the level of the problem, which is that what they did is they sampled water from lots of different beaches in Dublin Bay, and they were trying to work out why is there evidence of fecal contamination, where is it coming from. So they collected samples and were able to actually track down which species the fecal contamination of the water came from. And I think everybody had kind of thought, well, it's probably likely to be humans. But what they actually found out was that traces of human feces were only found in a quarter of the assessments, like 25%, whereas traces of dog poo were found in around half of them. So there's twice as much dog poo traces in the water compared to human poo. So that's a really big deal. And what it means is that, makes the water not safe to swim in. And it means that dog owners should change their attitudes now. And it should be that universally, wherever your dog poos, you should pick it up. You should pick it up and put it into a bag, and it should go into landfill. And that's the only safe way to get rid of dog poo.
Why? Well, I mean, I know it sort of sounds obvious. You say, well, it's very uncomfortable. You don't want dog poo contaminating where you're swimming.
No.
But there might be bacteria, of course, in it and all that sort of stuff. So tell us about the exact dangers of dog poo.
Well, the danger is that you can, if you're swimming in water that's got traces of dog poo in it, then you can pick up infections from dog poo that can cause you to have gastroenteritis, or arguably you could even pick up worms or something like that, because of what's in dog feces. There's a risk that's there. And so for that reason, dog owners just need to be utterly responsible. And I mentioned about picking it up on dogs, on streets and in parks, but also even in the countryside. Again, I would be one of those people who'd kind of be in favour of stick and flick, you know, which basically means that if you're out in the countryside somewhere, well away from places where people walk regularly, what's wrong with just, if your dog does a poo, just flicking it off into the undergrowth with a stick and letting nature take its course? I'm changing my mind on that as well, because there are signs that there's a possibility that if your dog has had antiparasite medication, that antiparasite medication may go through your dog and come out in the feces, and therefore if you just spread that in the environment, you may contribute to the decline of insect populations and things like that. So it's not as straightforward as we used to think it is, and I think that means that the kind of safe routine is just to pick up after them when you go out with your dog, just as you would pick up after a human being if they did a poo somewhere. Well, so you should pick up after your dog, and I think that's the safest way to be.
I think it was Lourdes Scott who was telling us on last Friday. She's a Green Party councillor in Greystones. She was saying, at the blue flag designated times, there's no dogs on the beach in Greystones, for example.
Yes.
You know, it's outside those particular months that people use the beach.
I think that's a reasonable restriction. I mean, dog owners will know that they can still take their dog to the beach, you know, early in the morning or in the evening when it's not going to be busy with human swimmers. That doesn't mean that they can let their dogs poo on those beaches, though. I think picking up poo is just a universal task all times of the day and all times of the year.
Yeah. So the advice is, don't bring the dog on the beach.
No.
People will bring their dog on the beach.
Yeah, you can bring your dog to the beach, but just the advice is that when you go out with your dog, make sure you're carrying a pack of poo bags so you can pick up after them. And I think that I'll go back to it. The best comparison is if a human got into difficulty and had to do an emergency toileting stop, they would pick up after themselves. Well, so your dog should be picked up after. That's really, should be seen in the same light as human feces at this stage.
Yeah. Do dogs poo in the water or do they come out of the water to poo?
I suspect them. I don't think dogs like to position themselves in the correct way before pooing. And so they don't. Likely, they're unlikely to do it on the move.
Okay, will we move on from this one?
Oh, please, it's a disgusting topic.
Yeah, listen, a lot of talk around this time of the year, of course, about Halloween and the bangers. Halloween starts earlier and earlier and earlier with the bangers and things like that. And I know we talk about it a lot, but I don't think it's any harm to actually go over it again. Dogs, they don't like these fireworks and things. So tell us your take on all this.
Yes, there's a survey done by Dogs Trust recently, which found that around 2/3 of dog owners feel that their dogs are afraid of fireworks. And what that means is that when your dog hears fireworks in the distance, you'll see their ears prick up. They start to look around the room anxiously. They just don't like it. And so rather than waiting until there's a big crisis, it makes much more sense to wait, to go to your vet now and to talk about what can be done to make it easier for your pet as you get into the full Halloween season. And rarely dogs do need medication. And at this time of year, every day I'd be writing prescriptions for dogs that have got such anxiety that their lives and their owners' lives become miserable as we head into late October. So that's something which is going to carry on and it's going to grow through the month. And what that means is medication to stop them feeling so anxious and medication to stop them panicking. A lot of dogs panic when they hear a firework and they then start to, you know, sometimes they'll mess in the house, sometimes they'll bark incessantly, sometimes they'll just literally become hysterical, jumping up onto surfaces, trying to hide in cupboards, all those kind of things. If your dog is one of those dogs, then what you ought to do is go to your vet and get prescription medication
it's like a sedative, is it?
We used to just give a sedative. But what they discovered was that particular sedative, all it did is it made dogs look drowsy, but inside they were still panicking. So these days we tend to use a cocktail, like at least two different drugs. One of them literally makes a dog feel less anxious, so they just don't have the same reactivity. They're just not feeling as alert and stimulated by the fireworks. And the second drug acts more just to slow them down a little bit and more of a sort of, I wouldn't call it a sleeping tablet, but that kind of a something to make them feel generally a bit sleepier. So there's two combination of drugs, and we tend to give one of the drugs every day for the last couple of weeks of October, and the other one you reserve for when you know there's going to be a big firework display, then you give them that one. And so, you know, the drugs work together in those ways. But listen, that's only for the dogs that are extreme examples. More generally, I always say to people, make sure you have a den for your dog, perhaps like somewhere like a utility room or where the boiler is or a cupboard under the stairs even. And what you do is you make that as soundproofed as possible. If there are windows, you make sure the curtains are drawn. You put a radio on there so there's a noise that will cover up the noise of fireworks. You put lots of soft, comfy bedding, give your dog some treats in there, maybe some chew toys. And what you might also do, ideally, is plug in a diffuser of pheromones. And what that'll do is that'll produce pheromones, which are a non-smelly vapor that stimulates the dog's brain and makes the dog feel more secure and more relaxed. There's one that's out there that's called Adaptil, and you literally plug it in the wall and it produces this vapor which dogs seem to like. It's actually a pheromone in dogs is produced by a female dog's mammary glands, and what it does is it makes puppies have a feeling that that's where they need to go, because that's where reassurance and that's where milk is for puppies. And adult dogs, obviously, they're not going to go looking for milk, but they certainly go looking for reassurance and comfort, and they get that feeling from pheromones. It's quite interesting stuff.
Yeah, it is, and it works. I mean, that's
yeah,
the thing.
Oh, it's proven to work. They've done lots of clinical studies which prove that it works. So, because there's lots of sort of remedies for anxiety in dogs, which don't work. You can go into any supermarket or pet shop and see a whole bunch of stuff there of ideas, if you like, and it all looks very appealing on the label. But when it comes down to clinical trials, well, you know, I'm not so sure that they've always been done. So I would be sceptical about many of those products.
Yeah, and just one last thing to mention on this, I suppose, is beware of dogs running away.
Yes, absolutely. It's a big issue. We see more stray dogs the day after Halloween than any other day of the year. Because if a dog's maybe in a garden and they hear a firework not too far away, they will just panic and they may jump over a low wall that normally restrains them, and then they're gone. They just run off in panic. So make sure you keep your dogs and cats indoors, Halloween night especially, and also make sure that they have collars and microchips on them. So if they do manage to get away, they can be returned to you quite easily.
Yeah, and people might be wondering, why are you talking about this on the 19th of October? Well, Halloween, you know, the fireworks start. That's the whole thing.
They started a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. Every night there's bangers going off, which is quite remarkable given that they're illegal, but that's just how it is, isn't it?
Indeed. Anyway, yeah, we might come back to it closer to Halloween again, because there's no harm in just, you know, mentioning it to remind people of that. One last thing, and thanks for coming in this morning, Pete. One last thing from your website about a case, a patient, and feathers. Tell us more.
This is a remarkable case. It's a lovely little poodle called Fizz, and Fizz is a lovely, relaxed, friendly little dog, but there's one thing that drives poor Fizz demented, and that is the sight of a feather. So the dog would go out the back door cheerfully and happily, and then suddenly the dog would freeze and stare into the distance and then back off barking, and the owner would go out and go, what on earth is going on here? And they'd see on the lawn, 10 yards away, a little white downy feather just bobbing around. And this drives Fizz demented. So the owner sent me some videos of this, and I wrote an article about it in the Bray People last week. And there's a lot of interest in it because it is so specific, such a unusual thing. And the great thing is that there's a way of dealing with it. There's a way of teaching this dog not to be afraid of feathers. And it's a technique known as the engage-disengage game. And if you want to know more about that, then you can go to my website at petethevet.com and you'll see some information about that there.
Right, is this normal behaviour, feathers? No?
There's lots of behaviour which is not normal, but and it's kind of bizarre. But the great thing is that the animals can be helped. Once you apply science to it, you can help them. If you try and sort it out yourself by just telling the dog it's a good dog and not to be worried about feathers, you'll get absolutely nowhere. But if you use a bit of serious behavioural science, then you'll find that there are ways of fixing these problems.
Very good. Great to see you again, Pete.
Thanks very much, Declan.
Thanks
thank you
very much for dropping in. That is Pete Weatherburn, Pete the Vet, and you'll find them on the web at Pete the Vet, but also on